Hello, I'm Lorene Morick, the host of Eye on the Arts, and today we have a real celebrity, this beautiful young woman who does the most incredible work. I can't wait to tell you about it, and I'd like you to meet Hani. And Hani, tell us, how do you do this? I so love it.
Well, the pieces are all hand-thrown on a potter's wheel, and then I finish it off with pine needle basketry.
And did you learn this pine needle, like... Well, Van Nuys?
I'm originally from Costa Rica, and I studied arts there. My emphasis was sculpture, and I was always interested in mixing techniques and working with all different kinds of materials. And I took all the pottery classes that I was allowed to take, because I was a sculpture major, always loved throwing on the wheel. I learned on a kick wheel. And on a trip to Argentina, my husband's aunt does pine needle basketry, just the pine needle basketry itself. And so she taught me, and I watched her do it, and immediately I just wanted to poke holes in my pottery and put it together. So that's where it started.
Oh, my God. So an international design concept.
Yeah.
And this is pine needles?
These are the pine needles, and you really, wherever there's pine needles, I think they've used it for pine needle basketry. I know that it's a lot of Native Americans used it, and as you see in Argentina, it's done also. And so it's just really whatever pine needle you can gather. I get these around my house in Tarzana. So I go around, I gather them. You work with them while they're moist, but they already have to be fallen off the tree. You can't work with them green, because if not, they would shrink when they dry, and the pieces would become loose. So you work with them when they're like this. And so I go around gathering them, which is a task. And then you have to clean them to take off all the smog off of them, because they're very dirty. You have to pull off the tops, and then you start weaving. So,
well, I see on this little bowl that you've already put, like, what'd you do, stick like an ice pick or something?
Yeah,
like
that's
that
one of my number one questions. Everybody always wants to know, how do you get the holes in them?
Yeah.
So after they're thrown on the potter's wheel, like the next day when they're leather hard, they haven't dried completely yet, I just poke it with a little wooden stick, and I just poke the holes around there. Then they're fired in the kiln, and I do a finish to them, and then I do the weaving.
And I see you do your own special glazes, too, because I don't see this kind of glaze
typically. They're actually not glazes. They're different painting techniques that I do, and they're finished off with a patina that I make. It's like
a little mud thing.
A little magical thing that I put on there, and that's why they look very different.
So they look more like they could be an old piece, or it has an authentic design.
Yeah, and I like it to look, I use clay that has a lot of grout, which is the sand that's inside the clay, not a smooth clay, so that the texture really pops out. I like to leave it very rustic feeling.
Will it hold water?
It will hold water, but what I do is, just because of the pine needles, like somebody might forget the flowers in there for a while, is I just put the flowers in a little plastic bag, like a little sandwich bag with a little rubber band, and I put them in.
Oh, wow.
A lot of the pieces are just accent pieces,
yes,
but a lot of pieces can be functional, like the little box. A lot of people like that box for cotton balls in the bathroom.
Ooh, yeah. And then you throw this lip and the whole deal.
Uh-huh. So that one only has holes on the little top.
These are so unique. I can't believe this, and it's all your idea too. Well, tell me about these bigger ones. I would say that they would go like on your kitchen table.
Yeah,
or
well,
in your
it
kitchen
really
window.
Depends. Of course, there's a lot of pieces that are very sculptural, because I studied sculpture, like pieces like that are just like a piece in itself. That one's like a torso. And then there's pieces like this little boat there, I call the boat series. And the way I make those is when I'm throwing pieces like that one, or like that little orange one, when I'm throwing it on the wheel, instead of just throwing it up to here, I continue it and close it off completely, forming a little ball. And then I come and I cut a piece out of it. So that little green boat could have been the top to, let's say, that orange one. And so that's why they're very, like, unique shapes. They're all one of a kind.
Look at this cool one, CTV. Oh, my goodness. I just love these. So you would think, like, somebody could, purchase, like, these pieces and put them in their bathroom or by their coffee table.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have you made other things too, like picture frames or?
I did make something similar to a picture frame, and I've done a lot of wall sculptures.
Wall art.
I like to incorporate my sculpture into the work also. So I have a lot of pieces with copper and wood that also incorporate the pine needles.
Oh, so if you were talking about this green one and it had wood, would it just have it sculpturally inserted in there?
The pieces that I did with wood were wood sculptures where they were a series of figures that had like skirts made out of metal and pine needles. And then I have some wall sculptures that are also copper, ceramic, pine needles.
So this beautiful artist just keeps on going.
It keeps on going,
You keep on going, you make all these things. Do you have a favorite?
A favorite to make? I like the ones that are different and unique. And I'll get bored after a while if I'm doing the same one. So they're always different. They always come out different. Yeah, like pieces like that one. That was a challenge to throw on the wheel, the big piece.
Yeah, I would think it would be.
Yeah.
And I guess you can't make this with, with flat clay and then just form it?
Yes, there are pieces that I have done with like slab work where I've done that or that come out with different shapes. But I like working on the wheel. It's relaxing.
When do you do it? Like early in the morning?
Since it has so many different phases, I divide my day and work on the wheel sometimes for 2 days straight, just working on the wheel. I'll make, that's all I'll do. I'll throw, 20, 30 pieces. The next day I'll do the trimming, which is the bottom part. And then I have to wait for it to dry. Then I load the kiln. Then I unload the kiln. So it has a lot of different phases. A lot of people always ask me, how long did it take you to make this piece? And it's impossible to know because I'd have to be calculating all the different phases that it goes through to get to that part. And then in the afternoon or at nighttime, I sit in front of the TV and I weave, sometimes until 12 o'clock at night, just working.
Oh, these are so gorgeous. I could see this as a, fruit.
Yeah, that one looks very nice with the little tangerines.
Ooh, excellent. I could see that. Wow, I love these. And this one, too. This is a really nice one with this red.
Yeah, there's not a lot of red out, but red is one of the very popular colors. People really like the bright red.
So these have sort of like a look like American Indian or Mexico.
Yeah, I get a lot of people say that it looks very
Portugal.
I think wherever the person is that likes it, they feel that it's like from a certain area. So I think they're very mixed up.
But I think that's good because then people could say this reminds me of my trip to somewhere. Ooh, these are so gorgeous. And how did you get started? Like what you wanted to do sculptural? And so to me, when I think of sculpting, I think of like big busts of people's
faces. Yeah, I worked mostly metal. My mother's a jeweler. So since very little, I knew I was going to do something in the arts. I was making jewelry since I was very little. And I always thought I would study jewelry or jewelry design, but I like big. I can't work too, when things are too little, I lose my patience. So I liked big, and I just enrolled in fine arts and took sculpture. I liked working in wood, in metal, in stone, and just always wanted to learn, pottery, and took that. And just mixing materials. And
are there any other artists in your family besides you and your mom?
Oh, well, yeah, my sister, my husband,
Were you born in Costa Rica?
I was born in Costa Rica, but I also lived in New York. And then something that's very funny, because I did this in Costa Rica, we just moved here 2 years ago, but so a lot of people that I see in shows that walk by and say, didn't we buy something like that? Where was it? And I say, Costa Rica? They say, yes. And so that's something that it's neat to meet somebody that bought something of yours a long time ago and now sees you in a different country. So,
oh, yeah, because art is so universal. I've been to Costa Rica, yeah. But I bought earrings.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I love it there. I love to travel. And I always look for beautiful art wherever I go. So I want to thank you very much. This has been a real pleasure to invite you here and to see all your beautiful artwork. And I want to thank you for watching CTV. It's been great. We have another artist coming up, so I'll be seeing you soon. Thanks a lot. Thanks for watching.
In nature, we see reflections of our children. The tree is the strong one. The ocean rambunctious and untamed. Like our children, each brings something wonderful and unique. They add color. They bring life. And to choose the sky over the water would be like choosing one child over the next. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. To learn how you and your employer can help, visit our website.
Hi, and welcome back. I have a beautiful show outlined for you guys today, and I'd like you to meet a very wonderful artist, Linda Shaner. So, Linda, how long have you been painting?
I've been painting pretty much my whole life. I, you know, was painting in school, and I actually started oil painting when I was in junior high in Western New York. My parents paid for actually private lessons so that I could learn how to oil paint, and that's pretty much what I did for the next 20, 30 years was oil painting primarily. And then about 15 years ago, I got interested in watercolor, and that's kind of my favorite media right now is the watercolor.
Well, I can tell that you're really good at watercolors. Look at this gorgeous, gorgeous painting. And every little speck and every little detail is painted by you with a little teeny brush, pretty much?
Not that small, but I do tend to be more of a photorealist type painter as opposed to more of an abstract or in watercolor, a loose painter. I'm a lot more dry brush, very tight painting, and I do go for the photorealism look.
Oh, this is surely this. But did you take a photograph of this site first? Or you were there, or how did this work come about?
I do all my paintings from photographs or slides, and this was actually a cider mill in a small town south of Rochester, New York, sort of central New York State, and it was in the fall. I was there for a wedding, actually, not at the cider mill, but we had gone on a day trip just driving around because my family's off from that area, and we stopped here, and I just got some fantastic photographs from that, and I've got three or four different paintings that are going to be coming from this series, but this one was definitely the most involved and the most detailed of the group.
Ooh, it's beautiful.
Oh, thank
you. I just love the way you can clearly see each, you know, each apple and each barrel, and you know, I know that you were there.
Yes.
When I look at this. Oh, it's quite beautiful. And it was the fall. And for your next series around this, would it be the same building but something else or a different view of the barn or the general store?
Well, I do have one painting I've already completed. It's, you can't even see it completely, but it's over in this area. There's actually three pumpkins sitting on some barrels, and it's a close-up of that particular portion of the barn. And then the next painting I'm going to do in the series is there's some hard cider that they're brewing there. It's actually fermented cider, and I've got some close-ups of the jars that they've got it in.
Yeah.
and they have little caps on the top that are emitting, I think it's carbon dioxide, and corn husks in the background and pumpkins, and it's a very autumny feel to it, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
These are just beautiful, but I know you have another passion, that you like to do animal portraits.
I do indeed. In fact, that's primarily what I started with, was animals. I like to paint horses. I have a horse myself, and I have done quite a bit of those, mostly in oil.
Uh-huh.
I also like to do dog paintings and cats on occasion, but primarily dog portraits for people. And I've got one.
Oh, I love this
back
one.
Back here.
The one behind you is, what kind of a dog is that?
That's a corgi, and it belongs to a friend of mine. And she actually is the one who had taken that picture. And as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, you've got to let me paint this, because it was just a stunning picture.
Yeah.
And one of my specialties is being able to capture the personality of people's pets.
Oh,
and
I
animals.
Think you did.
I really try to get the personality. Generally, I like to do headshots because I think that's where most of the personality is, although, like in this case, it is a complete dog.
And this one was one of your pets over here?
Yeah, this was my old Skipper Key Bear,
yeah.
Who I missed terribly. But and it's hard for me to paint my own animals because I know them so well, and if I don't get the personality just perfect, it's not good enough. I always feel like I'm never going to capture them completely, but this pretty well captures his spirit. He was a great little dog.
And are your current dogs also black?
Yeah, they're Skipper Keys.
Skipper Keys
are
always black?
All Skipper Keys look alike, yes. They're black, little black hairless dogs, about 12 inches tall.
Yeah.
And about 15, 20 pounds.
Do they bark a lot?
They are excellent guard dogs.
Yeah.
They are my, nobody's going to get into my house without me knowing about it.
That's nice. I think pet portraits are really interesting, especially realistically done like this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you often sketch pets? Or you just...
I'm not a big fan of sketching. I really prefer to work off of photographs. And one of the other things that I'm very good at is taking multiple photographs and kind of merging them together to get the ideal picture. It doesn't have to be a perfect photograph for me to get a great portrait out of it. A lot of times people will give me maybe a picture and says, well, this is his eyes, and this is a great pose, and this one has the color, and I can merge all of them together and come up with a composite that hopefully captures the dog the way they like it.
You know, there's a lot of dog lovers here in Calabasas.
Oh, there are.
At every show, they're just packed in the aisles, people walking with their dogs, and we have a dog park here, too. So there's always a lot of dogs around here, and, well, I have a dog and three cats, so... And I take photographs of them, but now when they see the camera, they run away.
Oh,
so I know that they're camera shy. Well, tell me about this picture behind me. Where is that mountain?
Okay, this is a picture I actually took, would you believe, back in 1969 with a little Polaroid camera, and I actually still have the negative for it. And it's in Texas. It's the south end of a mountain chain that goes through New Mexico, and this is the very end of it that just happens to fall into the state of Texas, and it's called Guadalupe Peak. In fact, if you've ever heard of Carlsbad Caverns,
Yeah. They're
in that mountain range. It's all limestone. And we just happened to be, we were actually moving to El Paso, and there just happened to be this storm front coming through, and you had the dark clouds behind the painting, and the sun hitting the mountain face. And it was just, it was such a,
and you remembered
it
for all this time.
Oh, it was great.
Until it was its turn to be painted?
Well, I had actually done one in oil painting, and my parents actually have that painting. And then once I started doing the watercolor, I thought, you know, I want to pull that, I wonder if I can find that negative, pull out the picture, and let me try it in watercolor. And I have a lot of fun, and I had a good time doing that painting as well.
Do you often do one oil painting and one watercolor of the same subject or same
scene?
Not
really. I haven't actually painted in oils for a long time now. It's been about 10, 15 years. I don't like to,
yeah.
But I'm just really enjoying the watercolor aspect of things right now. And in fact, I think I'd probably have to go out and replenish all my oil painting supplies because it's been so long. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them have dried out. And I really enjoy the watercolor.
Yeah, you certainly execute the watercolor really,
well,
really
you.
Good. And your colors, like sometimes when you look at watercolors, it's sort of more dreamy, and they're you know, like you feel like the water is moving around, where I feel here that you directed it with a beautiful style.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I love this work. It's so nice. Really cool.
Well, like I said, with watercolors, kind of what they call more of a dry brush technique, where there's not so much water in the paint. It's more dry, and when you brush it on, it's got that dry ness, so that you get a little bit more detail and a lot more crispness.
Oh yeah.
And get the sharp edges, which you wouldn't get if there was a lot of water on the painting.
Well, maybe that's why a lot of watercolorists do water, like boats and stuff like that, on the ocean.
Well, even then, the boats themselves, there's a lot of sharp angles, and you could stick with the dry brush, and then when you get down into the water, then you can go with the more loose painting. In fact, the trees here are what I would consider on the loose side.
On the looser side. Yeah. Oh, but they're beautiful fall trees. And this looks like such a cool spot.
It was a fantastic day. I mean, we just had such a great time going to this cider mill and up in the hills country of, rural New York, and seeing the fall colors, because it was, you just don't get those colors in California like you do back east.
That's true. How long would a painting like this take you to make?
This one took a long time, partly because I was working at the time, and I would paint maybe 2 or 3 hours a week, and this took me 3 or 4 months to finish, I think.
So do you just prop it up in your kitchen, or did you have a studio?
I actually paint with at a friend's house. She has classes, and I like to go there because it encourages me to sit down and paint, whereas sometimes I get distracted and pulled aside, to do this or do that.
Right.
And everything.
Answer the phone and
so,
turn on the sprinklers and
so
gets in your way.
It's good to have a reason to sit down and paint, and there's a bunch of us there, so it's a real enjoyable
time
where we can all paint and help appreciate each other's work, talk about things, maybe make suggestions to improve our painting, and it's just
and look what you get.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you, Linda, for joining us today. It's been really great. I love your work.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I can't wait to see more of it. So I want to thank you guys all for watching us today on CTV, and we'll have some more art shows and, of course, more programming with CTV. So I'll be looking forward to seeing you at all our beautiful events. Thanks for watching. It's been cool.